Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living in Alignment with Julie. I'm your host, Julie Kara Hoffenberg, and you're listening to part 1 of 4 of the Living from Within series. Today, I will be sharing an enlightening conversation with E.J. Seals Jackson, author of the book Living from Within. You can find information at E.J. Seals, S-E-A-L-S, Jackson.com. We'll be discussing this phenomenal book, as well as my own, and how the law of attraction provides the foundation from which they flow. My book is called Homeless to Happy in a Split Second, and you can find information about that at Julie Kara, C-A-R-A, Hoffenberg, H-O-F-F-E-N-B-E-R-G.com. I'll begin by reading a paragraph from today's show page as a brief synopsis of where this show is heading. While EJ's book leans toward the theoretical framework of living from within, my book demonstrates exactly how our thoughts and feelings dictate the outcome of our experiences. When faced with homelessness, I knew that I had two options. I could look at the horrors of becoming homeless and live out a traumatic scenario, or I could embrace the freedom of a new adventure. Recognizing the direct correlation between what we think about and what we manifest, as well as witnessing how the universe responds directly to our thoughts, is just one of the many reasons why our books are so important. EJ explains further that because the law of attraction assures us that when we change our thinking, we change our lives, we will also be looking at the issues impacting the current climate of our country and how the law of attraction can work wonders navigating those issues. For those of you who are prepared to see life through the eyes of love, thus releasing any current fears, now, which in fact is the only time there is the time to make that shift. It's with great pleasure, joy, and gratitude that I welcome EJ Seals Jackson to the show today. And I know she will be helping so many of you to navigate your way back into alignment.
Ditto.
Ethel, are you with us?
I am with you, girl.
Ethel, also known as EJ Seals Jackson.
Good point.
Yes.
We'll just kind of go with that because that's the name that the book is under. So great, great. Such a pleasure to be here. And before you, but let me just say this, just how we get these insights and realizations. You know, we always see, I used to always say, oh, what is, this is a wonderful world. There's beauty everywhere. And I'm saying, sure, yeah, right, okay. It occurred to me just, and I've been, you know, it occurred to me like a couple of days ago, that's so true. There is so much beauty in this world. And I've been kind of looking at it that way for a while now, but now I get it. You know, there's just so much beauty everywhere, but we just really have to look for. And that's what I do now. I want to see and I expect to see the thing that pleased me. So just wanted to say that we all have such a wonderful life available to us. Just wanted to say that, Jules.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that one of the best parts of this show, which is a 4-part series, will be that people can learn how to recognize more of that beauty in more of the present moment that will take them to some techniques and ways to live a life that feels a little bit more aligned for them. So your book that you've written, Living from Within, that will give us the basics of the law of attraction and living the life that we want to live. So I'd like for you to take us on a little bit of a journey about your book, what people can expect, and a little bit of the main message that you want to share from it today.
Okay. And I would start with, well, let me just say this, you know, like I've been on this path for a minute now, And what really, you know, you just go through all this and you're just not getting it. You're just not getting it. It's not happening for me. But what really turned me around and was quite the impetus for this book, I ran into an article by Neville Goddard who said, feeling is the secret. Now, that is huge. I mean, for me, because as it turns out, the only way we can experience anything, even the energy that we've come to know as God, is to feel it. And we really have to take that in, because I don't think we are aware. I know I wasn't. And if we are not connected with our feelings, we are not going to be happy. And I'll get to that in just a minute. The next thing we have to talk about is our thoughts. Okay. Well, let me just back up a minute. Feelings was one thing. The next thing is feeling good. So this book talks about feelings, and then it goes into another topic entitled Inner Reconciliation by G.P. Walsh. Now, the reason I put that in, because he has, there's a download that he tells about inner reconciliation. And what that means is that we must reconcile our emotions. We have these negative emotions and we have the positive emotions, and the positive typically outweighs the negative ones, okay? But what we do, and like GP says, we cannot get rid of our emotions. You know, other teachers, according to him, tell us how to transcend our emotions and get rid of them. But he says the only way we can do that is to reconcile those emotions. Because, in fact, our emotions or our feelings, if you will, that is an inherent part of who we are. So there's no way we can get rid of them. But we can reconcile them where they just kind of become feelings. So in addition to just feeling, we must feel good. So let me just say, those are the two things that we must have if we want to be happy. We must be aware of our feelings, and we must feel good. And once we become aware of our feelings, which are inside of us, you know, in the area of the solar plexus, which is at the pit of the stomach, that's where our feelings are found. When we connect with that, we also know that we can then feel good. The next component I want to add to that, now, first of all, let me say, that's essential. We are not going to be happy until we feel good, okay? We're just not, okay? Because happiness is a feeling. The next component here is the law of attraction. Now, we know about the law of gravity, okay? If we jump off a building, we're going to hit the ground. The law of attraction says that which is like unto ourselves is drawn, which means that whatever we are thinking, whatever we are feeling, we will get more of that. So the first two are essential to be aware of our feelings, which will let us know how to feel good. The law of attraction is not essential to that process, but it's surely helpful, because if we are aware of what we think is going to multiply, we will become a lot more clear or careful about what our thoughts are. And the final thing I'm going to say, and then I'll turn it back to Jewel, thoughts. Okay. Well, our thoughts, this is surprising, okay? We rely so heavily on our thoughts. One of the things that I say in my book, which comes from Eckhart Tolle, our thoughts are 98% useless, and they are repetitive. Now, we have to think about that. You know these thoughts that crowd our heads? Just nothing but mayhem. So the book tells us to look at that. Yeah, the book tells us how to kind of to look at that, what to do about it. Got lots of great information. So that's just kind of the groundwork that I want to lay here. And let me just add another thing, and this is something that in the spiritual community we kind of hesitant to say. We have some guarantees here, okay? We hesitate to use that word. I can guarantee that our happiness. And I'm going to tell you why I can do that. I didn't do it myself, because we are already happy. We simply cannot not be happy. but we can not be aware of it. And this is what this book does. It makes us aware of the happiness that is within us. And like I said, it's in the solar plexus. We can literally feel it in the pit of our stomach. And that's that. And I just want to throw in one thing here, which is always good, to have the support of Julie's book, Homeless to Happiness in a Split Second. What she went through confirms everything that I have just said here. She became homeless, and you know, as she read in the show page, that could have gone either way. Now, for the most people, if something as horrific as that, most of us would be like in a corner in a catatonic state. You know, what in the world? I mean,
right.
But you know, this girl said, okay, fine, I got it. I'm free, you know. So, but anyway, but my point is, she knew this. She knew that her journey was contingent upon how she saw her journey and you know, which way it was going to go. So I just wanted to say that. So back to you, Jules. Where do you want to take it now?
Well, thank you for that. This is why our books, you know, synergize so well.
Yes.
And you said so much in such a little time, linking our thoughts and our feelings to the law of attraction, which is just like meets like and nothing really to beyond that. And one distinction I think that could be helpful to go deeper into for people is, you know, the title of your book is Living from Within. Mm-hmm. And you said our feelings are inside of us and they rest in the solar plexus. They're not a thought. There's something that you feel, a sense of knowingness or an emotion or an inner guidance system. And this is so key right now because I think especially in our society as it is right now, everything is designed to take us away from that feeling, away mm-hmm. from our ability to think in our quiet moments. And you're bringing people back into the within. You're bringing them living from within. You're not living from without, but you're coming back into the solar plexus and you're asking yourself questions. You're saying, how do I feel? Does this feel good? Does it not feel good? And then our thoughts, to me, are a little bit of a PowerPoint of access into our feelings. So like if we're using, for example, one of the messages from your book and we say, okay, I'm having a bad feeling right now. I don't feel good about the state of the world and the news message that I just watched. I feel bad. Okay, well, where's the feeling coming from? It's coming from a thought about something that you saw outside of yourself. Mm-hmm. So if we create a new message or a new thought, which is perhaps, maybe I'll lay off the news and I'm just going to have a real clear, peaceful day. Well, how does that feel to me inside if I do that? Maybe your thought is, wow, there's a lot of crazy things going on outside. But what I do know is that right here in my own home, this candle's beautiful. I love the feeling of my bed, you know, whatever that thought is. So our thoughts can be a PowerPoint to shift our feelings. If you can't shift your feeling automatically in the moment, you can begin to choose new thoughts. Would you say that that's something that works for you?
Totally. And I want to add a little bit to that. It'll give a little more power to the thought thing because it's our thinking that take us to hell and back, okay? And we've all
right.
been there.
So, right.
So let me add something to that. Every thought that we think carries a frequency, okay? And what I mean by that, every thought comes with a feeling. Plus, let me just say, everything is actually initiated with a thought. I'm sure we'll get into that a little earlier. If you look at anything in where you are now, you know, you can look at your couch, anything, I'm saying this to the audience, you will realize that it started with a thought, okay? Now, if it was something that you wanted and you might not have been aware of what you were doing, but let's say you saw that new car that you want, you know? the first thing that's going to happen, first of all, you're going to start seeing that car on the street. More and more, you're going to start seeing that car. That's number one. Now, if you keep feeling good, wow, I really like that new car. Hey, I'm just, you know, see yourself driving in it and having fun with it. That car will have to manifest. It will have to, you know, because you have the thought, which creates the feeling, and it's the feeling that actually brings it into actual manifestation. Now, but if you see that car, if you get the thought, oh, my God, the insurance is going to be too much, I cannot afford, and going on and on and on, you have just talked mm-hmm. yourself out of that car, you know.
Absolutely.
Now, getting back to the feeling, I want to give you another analogy. When we're going to build a house, the floor is the foundation to that house, and we build up on that, okay? Our feelings, we get the vibrational foundation. You know, when we feel good or bad, for that matter, whatever we feel, because we are vibrational beings, that feeling will attract whatever it is we're putting our attention to. And my point to that, we must feel it into being. And that's what's happening when we're living consciously. Because when we realize that this thought made me feel, I did not feel good when that with that thought, well, then I know, well, all right, then I don't need to keep thinking that thought. I make an analogy like a food. If you knew a certain food were going to make you sick, would you continue to eat it? Now, putting that with our thoughts, if we know that our negative thoughts, thoughts that do not make us feel good, if we think those thoughts, we know we're going to create that, why would we continue to think those thoughts? Just like with the food, you wouldn't eat it. Just like with the thoughts, you would not think those thoughts. And this is the beauty in this. We have a choice. You know, it's like what we can literally do, and this is kind of what I kind of came into, you know, over the time working on this book and everything. It's kind of like if you have a cluttered closet, okay? This is kind of living consciously and living more mindfully and watching what we're thinking about. You got a closet that has all this junk in it. The first thing you do, you look in that closet, it's like, okay, you just kind of do an assessment. And then you go, well, I don't need this, I don't need that, this dress doesn't serve me, I haven't worn this in 1,000. You get rid of that stuff, and you keep getting rid of it until you get organization in your closet. We can do the same thing with our thinking. Consciously looking at, being aware of what's going on in our heads. And I mean, I'm asking you to do that. Just kind of become aware of that. You know, all this stuff is a part of me and it's happening, but what's that about? And when you start looking at the thought, you really will begin to see they are repetitive. You know, they are useless. And what happens when we think these thoughts, it's not enough to think the thoughts and let them go. We think the thought, and then we make a story out of it. And I'm thinking about the Untethered Soul, which is Michael Singer, which is he talks about thoughts in his book, The Untethered Soul. And he invites us to take a day, maybe a day or two, and just treat our thoughts as if they are an annoying roommate. Well, a roommate that does not shut up. Very good example. If you start watching that, you begin to realize how suckered in we get with our thoughts. And another analogy that he gives, he says, okay, you ride down the highway, and then you look over and you see a Mustang, and you think, oh, yeah, well, you know what? My girlfriend has a Mustang, and there's somebody in the car. And then you get caught up in this story about how she dumped you and all this kind of stuff. So instead of just saying, okay, there's a car. Now, when we are driving along, we, you know, there are trees, and we don't make issues out of that, but then something will happen that will make us create a whole story. Every thought, instead of just letting it go, I mean, It's like chasing after a cloud, you know, instead of just letting it pass through, as Michael Singer encourages us to do. We make a story, and you know, and if you watch it, you will get some LOL moments when you look at the crazy, you might create a story about Bigfoot, anything, you know. So, yeah. So okay, like kind of back to you, Jules. But that's, that's my thing on thoughts. They're very important to be consciously aware of our thoughts. Let me just add one more thing. Be aware of our thoughts. So we kind of separate these things. Be aware of your thoughts. Be aware of your feelings, okay? Then you begin to realize how they work together to create our world. And the thing is, this is like you said, this is living from within, you know, and that's where all of this is coming from. We have to be aware of what's going on. It's our inner world that demands our attention. We must become aware of what's going on inside of us. That would be our thoughts, and that would be our feelings. Back to you, Jules.
Yes, and I think as well they need to be congruent. So if you're having a thought, let's use your example of, I really want that car, and your feeling is full of doubt and fear and what if I don't get it, then you're not having a congruency between that thought and feeling, because the universe is always under operation of our feelings. They're not so much under operation of our thoughts. So you can say to yourself, oh, well, all day long I had positive thoughts. I feel great. This is wonderful. Life is so perfect, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't really actually believe what those thoughts are, then your feeling is not going to match those thoughts. Your feeling is going to be a little bit murky, not so great. So you might be saying all these great things, and they're not actually changing the feeling for you. So when that happens, it's important to pull back from the thought and look a little more deeply at it and say to yourself, what's believable for me in this moment? So maybe the car isn't believable for you, but a car is that feels great. Like maybe one day I'm going to get a car and it's going to feel fantastic. Believable, you will feel excited inside and you will have a sense of joy and happiness or gratitude or whatever positive emotion matches that thought. So a lot of people get tripped up because their thought is so far, like, you know, they might say something like, I'm completely free billionaire that can do anything on the face of the planet that I want 24 hours a day. Well, that's not the reality. And they feel bad inside thinking, that's such a far stretch. There's no way I'll get there. So this is also a great practice to look, while we're looking at the thought, to let go of the ones that don't serve us, and also to check in and see which ones actually do make us feel good. And if they don't, you need to just tweak that message to yourself just a little bit.
Wow. Listen, I want us to go back to that. That is so huge. The congruency. Our thoughts and our feelings must be congruent. The universe does not respond to our thoughts because we are vibrational beings, and we're going to get into all of that more as these series go on. Mm-hmm. But the universe does not respond to our thoughts. We can say and think whatever we want to. The universe is responding to our feelings about it. So I just wanted to come back to that for a minute because it's just so hugely important. Another thing I want to say, this, now, not saying it's easy, this is incredibly simple. I just can't tell you.
Not always easy, but it is simple.
But look, the not easy is equivalent to the not simple, okay? The advantage in it is it's not easy, but, you know, once you start doing it, you get immediate results. I don't mean immediate huge results, but you begin to see, okay, if I think this thought, I feel better. And you can actually, when you really do get into this, you can see your thoughts. I mean, you know, you see them, and it's like, okay, let me just let that pass through. And when that becomes a practice, you're going to stop creating all these major nothing stories out of your thinking, okay? You just kind of let them flow, just like a cloud flows them. You just let them flow. Now, the other thing I want to say about that, which really makes it even more simple, is it flows. Okay, once we become aware of our feelings, then we begin to make decisions more based upon our feelings than our thoughts. Right now most of us are dominant, we're coming from our head. We are already feeling good, to be exact. But because the focus is on our thinking, we don't know anything about the feelings, okay? But the opposite works as well. When we become aware of our feelings and let our dominant focus, you know, be really aware, and just once you, like, get in there, just be aware of what it feels like to feel. The more we are aware of our feelings, the less we are aware of our thinking. And that's a beautiful thing that goes along with that.
That's very powerful. Yeah, that's a huge distinction to make. I think that if people are listening when this is recorded, you know, download it and rewind it and go back and listen to that statement, because it's going to, I think it's just powerful. I'll let you continue. I don't want to interrupt your thought, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So kind of where was I? Okay. I know where I was going with it. Okay. Going back to simplicity thing. When our feelings become greater than our thoughts, we are now living in the present moment. And just to show you the synchronicity here, I was telling Jules before the show, I say, look, you know, we also want to talk about the present moment. And she just said, well, you know what, if we get to that, I have a quote about the present moment. That's the way the universe works. When you put it out there, it's immediate. Okay. But now, having said that, when we are feeling, now let's think about this. Talk about the only time that there is now. I no longer have a past, thank heavens. And, you know, because I don't live there anymore. I don't, you know, I live in the now. And this has been born out of what I have been doing and just this practice and this understanding. I really live out in the present moment. And that's pretty much, I don't believe I'm saying this, but that's certainly 95% of the time. And let me tell you why feelings put you in the present moment. Think about this. When we feel, which is in the solar plexus, which is in the pit of our stomach, when we are feeling, when are we feeling? I am feeling now. You cannot feel in the future because the solar plexus is not the house for the field. The highest concentration of feelings is in the solar plexus. When we feel, we only feel, it has to be now, okay? We cannot feel in the past. We cannot feel in the future. So that puts us in the present moment right there. And the more we begin to feel, and you just begin to see the advantage of living from within. And there are just so many advantages to doing that. So, but yeah, I think that's just kind of what I wanted to put out there. Oh, another thing to anchor us to the present moment. Our body is always in the present moment. So we can use that as an anchor. Our body is always now. The feelings are in our bodies, and that's always now. So that is how we get anchored to the present moment. And it just feels so good because you get in a place of surrender. That's another thing I want to point out. Everything is already done. Because we create with our thoughts and feelings, everything is already done. So as we get into the present moment, we kind of relax and let our lives unfold because the divine design for our lives is already in place. If the universe's good pleasure to give us the kingdom of heaven. That's why they say the kingdom of heaven is within, because our feelings are within us. So, yeah, the present moment, that's huge. But these other features that we are talking about, they ultimately take you to that place.
They do, yeah. What you said about you're not able to feel before in your past, and this may be actually try to do an exercise because we've discussed this in the past. So you'll say to people, the feelings, you can't have any feelings that are, you cannot experience feeling in the past. And so they'll say, oh, well, I felt blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, look at the physical words you just said. I felt. You used to have that feeling. You're not feeling that in this moment through that experience, but you're choosing to re-experience and reawaken those feelings. So you'll get more of what you don't want because you're re-experiencing the feelings of all the things that didn't feel good back then. We're not telling you that things did not happen in the past. We're just saying that in the present moment, that ability to access the power of your feelings in this moment, to shift your thought from what it used to be into what it currently is that feels better, this is your power point. This is your access point into creating, maybe even slowly, which is fine, but a better feeling life. I mean, you could be in the greatest trauma known to man, but you have the right and all of the power within you to create a better feeling life. And that's where I feel this, like you said, the synergy of this quote came through. And many of the listeners here probably listen to Abraham, who's channeled through Esther Hicks. And just within a couple of days ago, the message of the day was, your life is right now. It's not later. It's not in that time of retirement. It's not when the lover gets here. It's not when you've moved into the new house. It's not when you get the better job. Your life is right now. It will always be right now. You might as well decide to start enjoying your life right now, because it's not ever going to get better than right now until it gets better right now. It has to get better right now. It's the simplest of words just bring you so much awareness to, oh, right, I can't keep reaffirming how bad that past is. We're not denying that. Could have been torturous and awful, and, you know, you have compassion for people. But what do you want? Do you want more of that? Great. Keep thinking it. Keep feeling that. If you want something different, now is your access point. So so this is one of, I think, if not maybe the most important point that comes out of your book, is that access point into the presence and into your body, which is right now, and everything around us is taking us out of our body, out of our awareness, out of our ability to begin to really feel and to understand what we're even feeling.
I love it. I love it. I want to say two things, and then I think let's kind of hear more about your book, Jewels. But in regard to that, this is how we live our life, and I do have a section in my book about this. We take the dead past, okay, we project it into an imaginary, always fearful, uncertain future, and it just overlays the now. Okay. The other thing that I want to say, I am happy now, and that we are all happy now, okay? Only time we can be happy, just like Jules was saying. And it's a matter of us being aware of the happiness that is within us. So that's why it doesn't matter what you buy, the cars, none of that stuff matters. I am happy now, and if I am not happy now, I will not be happy when I get that new car. So it's an I am, and it's a section in there about I am. I am brings us into the now moment. And so now, Jules, let's kind of talk about your story. And I would like at the end to have a little time to talk about COVID-19 and with the law of attraction, the Black Lives Don't Matter, the other black thing. So I just want to just throw those out there. We certainly won't be able to discuss them, but I just kind of want people to know what we can kind of look forward to. But yeah, but kind of let's just hear your story, because I know I got some questions I want to ask you. So go ahead.
We'll have a back and forth interview. This is perfect. That's what this is. Yeah. This is a dialogue. This is not one person telling someone how it is or asking them how it is. It's a little bit more organic than that, and allowing it to unfold as it needs to. And as you know, that it is four parts. And if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to EJ Seals Jackson about her book, Living From Within. And we're also talking about my book, Homeless to Happy in a Split Second. And I'm Julie Kara Hoffenberg. So if you're needing to, you know, look at links to our book so you understand what we're talking about, there's the info for you. And we are going to get into, you know, relevant present topics as this show evolves. We have three more coming in the series, which I will be putting up shortly on the show page, which is Living in Alignment with Julie. So you can look forward to that. And you can also press follow on my show page, and it will send you a notification when the next show is coming. So just getting back to the interview itself, we will have some time at the end there to let the people know, you know, what's going to come in the next few weeks. And while yours is kind of a little bit more of that background on living from within and things like that, my book kind of, it's a guide to living some of those same principles, but it's a little bit more, let's say, in the external or the tangible world, the realization of what it looks like to be living from within, even when your external circumstances are not fantastic. So if for those of you who are joining us that have not read my book yet, it tells the experience of having to move out of a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, very nice house, losing everything, including my cat, my relationship, ending up with like $2 in my checking account, and climbing into my Hyundai Tucson, which is a small SUV, if some of you don't know what that is. So the opportunity for me in that was my perspective, my feelings about where I was. So in the split second that I left the house and sat down in my car, I felt amazing because I was free of financial burden. I was free of a relationship that no longer served at that point. I was free of almost all responsibility. And I could begin tuning back into my own desires, feelings, passions, interests, and things like that. I was instantly in nature by necessity, 24 hours a day, and that's one of my first loves. So everything is perspective. Everything is about our awareness to where we're at. And I know that there are people listening that are in constant battles with money, with abundance, with this idea of ego and shame about your money situation. And all of that can be purged away when we get really quiet and really still and start listening to what our soul is calling for. So that's kind of the journey that the book departs from and takes people through this experience of no longer being guided by the external and being guided by internally what I really wanted, which was time in nature, writing, seeing people I loved, feeling the feelings of freedom, being in beautiful places, and that all, it instantly came rushing in. Instantly. So that's sort of a little bit of an intro to it. I don't know if you had any like specific questions about that, but I just think that the connection between our two books is, it's like divinity. It's divine. It's just, it's the living out, the manifestation of living from within, basically, is what I chose to do. And it was a choice, you know?
Yeah. You know what I just want to say? When I read this book, when I first got it, and that's what I said, it's like, wow, okay. I think the thing that struck me about homeless is that I was so there. I mean, the only difference was I didn't have to live in my car, okay? That's the only distinction. Honestly, when I was reading this book, and this is the truth, and I had this happen to one other author at one time, it was like I met this girl one time, and we never talked about my personal – how does she know so much about me? Honestly, and I related to that book, and it just showed we are all so much more alike than we are different. And it just took a minute for me to realize she's telling everybody's story. You know, you got just different down that hood with a homelessness, but we all go through that dark night of the soul. And I think it's just so fortunate that we get the opportunity to kind of see in real time, I mean, what it's like to be homeless. And that's not really well said, because typically we have a whole different vision of what it's like to be homeless. But what it does, I mean, you know, this takes that idea to a whole new level. If you can feel good under those circumstances, I mean, honestly, that would almost have to be one of the most traumatic, could be, you know, but you can go either way, and this is the way she chose. And I mean, I just kind of marvel at the book and going through her adventures, and she's just funny as all get out, you know. So it's just, I mean, the experience is like, wow, it's like stuff you never heard of. Some of the, or let's just say, you would just never have thought of as being pleasurable. You know, she found a berry that she just loves, you know, that kind of thing. So it's really an amazing journey. And she doesn't sugarcoat it. You know, she puts in, I don't even want to say the downside, but I'll use that word loosely, the downside, but really, really turns out to be, it was just an opportunity for her to grow, which is what every contrast is an opportunity to grow. But this is the question I want to ask you. During that time, were there periods that you just kind of lost it and went kind of back to your old way? I didn't get that you ever did from the book. I know you kind of had a few crappy jobs that weren't that. But did you ever get, I guess the word would be discouraged. I mean, I guess that would be the word. Did you ever have periods of doubt? I think that's what I want to ask.
Yeah, that's a good question, because doubt is very, let's say, automatized for people. It's almost been bred into us to mm-hmm. doubt who you are, to doubt your safety, you know, things like this. So I had brief moments where, you know, you call it my crappy jobs, and funny enough, I'm going to write a book about my crappy jobs. but they're all necessary. They are all purposeful in some way. But because I was so tuned in to my feelings and my situation and not in denial of anything, if I had moments that were difficult, I was able to use, let's say, all my tools in my tool bag to work myself out of any negative thinking. So, for example, I was working in a store that was a team of what my manager called the most difficult team in any of the stores he had ever worked in since he was 18 years old. And I was managing them, working four positions at the same time, in dealing with people who were constantly resistant and angry and not passionate about life and very disconnected from, let's say, their own alignment, which of course was unfortunate, but I can't be there to fix that. I have to meet them where they're at and deal with that. So it was only through getting off work and going into, let's say, like non-resistance. So I would sit in nature quiet, I would meditate, I would clear the head of all the thoughts that didn't serve, like, my job sucks, okay, well, how does that thought feel? It feels terrible. So I created a new thought. This job is here. I'm grateful for the financial freedom that I'm getting from it. And one day a better job will be there and I will actually be an entrepreneur. So I already knew that that was possible. I had already been an entrepreneur and I knew that was what I was meant for. So creating those thoughts were better feeling thoughts to me. I think Abraham Hicks calls them better feeling thoughts. So you constantly check in. And I am very blessed to have researched and found all sorts of emotional tools, from EFT, like tapping, watching good YouTube videos, many modalities of meditation, mantras, just different instruments that I'm so grateful for. So anytime I had doubt or the negative thinking come in, that's what I did. But so many people are without a tool bag. They just don't know. And this is like where your book can come in or my book can come in, because you go through there and there's so many references for people to go access tools. Not every book has everything you'll ever need in your whole life. But if we create this collection and bring in tools that are concrete and that can help us in the present moment, then our lives can begin to shift. Because I had people saying things to me, stuff like, okay, so I'm in my SUV, and they'd say like, aren't you scared that someone's going to break your window and murder you in the night? Well, where does that thought come from? Were they born and then they said, I'm afraid of people who are going to murder me? No, they watched the news or they saw some story about a homeless person that got attacked. And if we also look at the logic of it, okay, so there's a glass and a wall between me and the world. People go to their houses and there's a glass and a wall between them and the world. And why do I have to be more scared in my glass and wall than they do? And they're still scared, even though they have the house, they're still scared. They still have security. So this is the thinking that, that you have to sort of come up against constantly. So you're always working your tools and releasing thoughts that are like, I'm not that thought, that's their thought. I don't accept that thought into my person. I'm choosing a better feeling thought, which is, I am always safe. I'm always intuitively guided. I only stay places that feel safe, and yada, yada. So these are some of the things that I discuss in the book. And we all have it. We all have negative thinking. We all have doubt, but it's allowing ourselves that and allowing ourselves the practice of coming back within, which is where we solve it. We don't solve it by telling the person that is afraid that we're going to get hurt, that they're wrong, that we don't like them, freaking out on them. It can only be solved within through our own feeling. So we'll be getting more into that for sure. I'd like for you from there to just kind of guide us into this same sort of thing, which is not only when a homeless person is living this experience and battling all those negative messages, but we're bombarded by that everywhere in our media right now, from, like you said, COVID, the BLM movement, just everything. So give us a little guide as to how we're going to deepen in the show and apply it to real life situations.
Okay. And before I do that, I want to say two things. We are programmed, our brains programmed towards a negative bias. And, just yes, putting that out there. I talk about that a little bit. And, we don't have to think that way, But another thing that I heard on the show, the other show that you did, and her name escapes me. What was the name of that show, Jules? The interview that
Sarah?
You did. Sarah.
Yes.
And this is so clear. You were saying safety comes from within. Everything is a feeling. If I am feeling safe, then I am safe.
Yes.
So it just comes back. This is a living from within, drawing on what we have within ourselves. So that was an incredible interview, by the way. I totally enjoyed that. So moving on. The next we just kind of winging it. Well, we're just going to do conversation about this. We don't know exactly when this is going to come up. But I want to just kind of get to what we are going through now and why this is so relevant at this point. And I'm going to start with COVID-19. Now, let me just say, and this is me, and I don't think we'll have time to discuss it today, but next week, you know, Jewel and I want you to pick up on this, you know, about this whole, what I'm about to say. You know, I mentioned Bigfoot earlier. My chance of getting COVID-19 about as equal to Bigfoot showing up in my living room. Not going to happen to me, you know. And I mean, and the reason is because I know there is the only place that a problem exists is in our thinking. If we release the thought that created the problem in the first place, that goes away. So that is just, you know, so that's just something that we are definitely going to get into at some point. But you can keep that in mind. It's an illusion on the, for me, it's, I see the illusion and anything external to me, it's an illusion, okay? But not getting too deeply in that. But if you don't think about it, but I do make it clear in my book, most of us are not there. You know, I mean, I really went through something to get that understanding because, you know, keep wearing your mask, keep going with the guidelines, but we're going to have another way of looking at this thing on another show. The next thing is this whole Black Lives Matter thing. Okay, this is the truth. Black Lives Matter, some Black Lives Matter, but others don't. Okay, in order for your life to matter as a Black person, you have to either get shot by the police or by Julie, who's white. Okay, so you know,
you know me, Ethel.
I know, right? So, but see, that is, and see, if you look at, so we're, now mind you, I totally agree with the protests and cleaning up some of the stuff that's going on, but this is one I have wondered for years, and now I have the opportunity to ask the question, why is it that we have families who are torn apart on a regular basis on the south side, west side of Chicago? There's not a day goes by that a baby is not killed, a 10-year-old, 11. Why is it that nobody is bringing that kind of attention to that? The cameras aren't there. So what I am saying, this is the time for us to start cleaning up our own house. You know, we're saying, stop killing us, cut the crap. Let's stop killing ourselves. We do far more harm, and we do not take responsibility for that. First of all, you know, we hung up on this slavery thing. We started that. Black folks were the first to get us put into slavery, and it just kind of took off on that. But I really go in detail of that, and just briefly, I want to read you some very brief statistics here. Now, the argument here in terms of people being killed by the police, okay. In 2017, now the argument can be is that there just are more white folks. That's why these statistics sound like this. In 2017, there were 457 white people killed by police officers, 223 blacks, quite a difference. 2018, there were 399 white people killed, 209 blacks. 2019, 370 whites were killed, 235 blacks. 2020, this was early on in 2020 that I haven't gone back to that because this was really early in the year. It was like 172 whites and 88 at that time. And briefly, when they had this big march, you know, about all this protest that was very effective on Memorial Day, on that day we had 25 blacks on blacks that were killed on that day. And 98, I believe, that were shot. Why are we worried about the ones that the police do? The other thing that I'm going to look at, and because anything that takes us this far outside of ourselves, it has to be kind of productive. Latest, the fake hair. I was in the grocery store. This is just really, I was in the grocery store, and there was this beautiful little girl. She was not 2 years old, maybe one if a day. She had so much weave in her hair that she could not hold up her head. We don't even give our beautiful little black girls a chance to rock their own hair, to rock the flow, froze, the press and the curls and the twirls. And you know how smart our girls, they can really work that thing. But we don't give them the opportunity because we make them believe in order to be beautiful, you have to have long flowing hair, long braids, and it's just getting longer and longer by the day. And the last thing I want to say, and maybe we'll get to this at the beginning to lighten it up a little bit. We have a tale of two Juleses, okay? We're going to talk about that problem on the next show, but it's just a classic example of how the universe responds to our request. But we'll get to more in that perhaps on the next show. Okay, Jules, that's it for me.
Well, thank you. That was a good preview of what we're jumping into. And I also want to just clarify that these things are things that you touch on in your book, Living From Within. They are each chapters that came sort of very quickly and passionately out of the writing that you were already doing about presence and the power that we have within. And these are not just politically charged stands against certain things. The purpose that we're serving here by going into some of these topics is to come out of the duality, to come out of the right and wrong, and to reframe things. Because reframing mm-hmm. things is no different than changing our thinking when we want to feel better. So we're going to take like a very honest, clear look at things that are happening, and we're going to reframe things so that we can be more empowered in our individual lives. Because on one level,
No, did not mean to interrupt. I did kind of want to tell people how to get a little bit about the book. That's all. I haven't even mentioned where to get the book.
I was mentioning just in the beginning of the show that they can get it at EJ Seals, SEALS-Jackson, Seals, SEALS-Jackson.com. And my book's available at Julie Kara, CARA, Hoffenberg, HOFFENBERG.com. So those are our two websites, and we will be talking definitely on some very interesting topics to come from a softer perspective, from a place of individual empowerment versus giving our power over to the media or any external attempts at shame or ego or any of the stuff that just tends to be floating around right now.
Excuse me, Jules, let me interrupt you because I know I want to say about my book, there's really a full book. My book is being published, okay? The thing that's available right now on that website is a PDF that you can download. You can also get the earlier version through Amazon, but it's incomplete. But the one that is actually full, the current version, is in a PDF format, which you can download it to your computer, your tablet. But I just wanted to say, and we can talk about that, you know, more next week.
Okay, great. Yeah, I know you're a little bit in transition and going through some editing processes, but I think that they can get a great feel for just the basics of where we're headed and how to use these ideas of living from within to apply it to the sensitive issues facing everyone right now. And, you know, it's not very common that I talk to people who are real happy when they talk about these issues. They're not feeling good. They're feeling bad. And there's a reason for that. So we're going to go into that, and we're going to start a revolution, EJ. We're going to start a revolution. So our show's going to come to a close. Yeah, we're going to come to a close here in just a couple of seconds, but thank you so much for being with me today on the show. Please stay tuned for our next 1, which is part 2 of the Living From Within series. And you can find that at Living in Alignment with Julie here on Blog Talk Radio. All right. Thank you so much, EJ. Talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, then. So is that a wrap?